Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Interesting.
Thanks for making us your sports station.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We are Dukes and Bell live inside the Kia Studios. Happy Friday. Falcons tonight against the Chiefs. I just retweeted it. Mike talked about it a little bit earlier where Julio is in his car chilling and basically saying, listen, I know it's a preseason game, but come on out. And come hang with us, man. And the guy just asked us, Mike, why is Julio asking me to come to a preseason game? It's called support.
It's called being a fan. Julio's in his whip, and he's trying to get you guys whipped up into a preseason excitement. Look, we get it. Preseason
football. And he owns that.
Look, it is what it is. He says, you know, just check out the video. Look, if you're a fan, get into it. You know what I say?
What?
It's Friday! Woo! 3-hour show, Joe! 3 hours!
This is true.
Awesome.
There's no doubt about that, Mike. Just don't say we're stealing money. Look, you got Julio in there, by the way? Let's hear Julio.
You and the A pull up, 7 o'clock, Mercedes-Benz Stadium. We know it's the preseason. You know, everybody don't be geeked on it, but come out and show your support, man. Show everybody how we do it in the A. You know what I'm saying? We're going to need y'all for these games.
He's right.
Damn right.
Now, I don't know. What was he bumping there, by the way? Was that
Craig,
Offset?
Can you identify the rap music?
Was
in
that
the
Offset? Who was that?
I love you can tell you got a kid as a teenager. You can just tell, Carl, at times. I forget you got Trinby helping you with your game.
What was he bumping there?
You know, that's a good question. I was going to Shazam it real quick because okay. I heard the little bit.
All right, Craig is going to do a forensic Shazam here, and we're going to find out what exactly the tune is Julio was rocking in his whip.
Yeah, it sounded like some Migos, but we'll see. Hey, man, we've got an NFL blitz to get to. Braves back in action tonight after losing a tough one last night. Literally leading in the night, and then they let it go. Brad Brock came in, Mike, and it looked like he was going to get out of that inning, and it didn't happen due to that error by Dansby Swanson, who couldn't convert his first save chance. We're talking about Brock, who was out there because, again, Vizcaino and then A.J. Minter. The bullpen right now, little undermanned, man.
Well, we talked about it earlier. Freeman's in the minors. Moylan's in the minors. Everybody's doing rehab starts. I mean, you got everything from a blister to shoulder strains. Minter had already done 3 games in 4 days, so Snicker wasn't ready to roll with him. So that's why we saw Brock. And unfortunately, like Brock has a stake 2-3-2 lead. Dansby with an error to start the inning, and it basically gives – you know, Colorado the jump start, and they stick it to us. So that's all she wrote. We got to a few more games with these guys. Saturday, I believe, is going to be the Georgia night for Georgia fans and Georgia alums. So it's going to be a good crowd, and we should have some sellouts. So I know we said it before. Julio just talked about it with the Falcons. You know the drill, guys. If it takes you a minute, give yourself 2. Okay, so, and if you're there at the battery throwing down, you're at Sports and Social. Don't forget, game starts, 7 o'clock on Saturday. Tonight, of course, I'll get your butt down here on time.
There's a time to party. There's a time to get to your seats. Hey, by the way, John Smoltz came on the show late yesterday to talk about the incident with Acuña. Also, tells a great story about his own career when I asked him about whether he ever did something like this in regards to Urania. And so he tells a story, not like Urania, not hitting a guy on the first pitch of a game because the guy's killing you, but because one of his guys had gotten hit. Stay tuned for that. That's coming up in less than 20 minutes. But right now, let's get to an NFL blitz.
Welcome to the NFL. With news and notes from around the league, this is NFL Blitz on Dukes and Bell.
All right, Mike, you mentioned this. Nick Foles hurt his shoulder in a Super Bowl rematch. Now, doesn't count. Doesn't mean anything. But New England wins the rematch. And the big issue now is Philadelphia, as they get ready for us, guys, September 6th, we've said this. Are we going to see Carson Wentz? Is he going to be ready? He says it's not his decision. He's got to be cleared medically to play. And then Foles, we think, would be ready. But now with this shoulder issue, what are they doing?
They're saying it's just a shoulder strain, but it was a strip sack and the shoulder was kind of stretched, hyperextended. So he says he'll be okay. We'll see what the doctors say. The issue is, who would you rather see as a Falcon fan? I mean, Carson Wentz beat us a few years ago up there, and obviously, you know, we held them to just 15 points, but we, of course, couldn't get our offense in gear up in Philly. Do you have one preference one way or the other at QB? Who do you want to see for them?
I've only said this just because I'd rather do it now than 6 or 7 weeks into the season when Carson Wentz has his confidence back and he's balling again. And that's not to say he may not start the season like that, but I would prefer to see Nick Foles if it was my choice. Now, obviously it's not. It's going to be Peterson, Coach Peterson's decision to make that happen. But I think if Wentz is ready, Mike, they're going to start him. So how did this injury happen? Nick Foles talked about that last night.
You know, I was getting ready to throw a deep ball, and it got grabbed as I was falling through. So it sort of got a little strained. So, you know, was with the trainers. You know, we'll go in. I'll go in tomorrow, get treatment on it. And you sort of go from there. But, you know, it feels all right. It feels pretty good. Hopefully there's no issues.
Now, do you guys remember in the Super Bowl, and we always make a big deal of this, because whatever team wins, there's a frenzy on the field, and usually the losing team skedaddles. And Tom Brady did not shake the hand of Nick Foles, who was the Super Bowl-winning quarterback, and everybody made a big, oh, he's a terrible sport. So last night, for those who missed it, guess what? They shook hands, and everything seems to be okay, says Nick Foles.
It'll happen when it happens. I mean, we practiced with the Patriots several years ago, and I got to, you know, stand there and talk to Tom for quite a bit. He's a great guy. I mean, I have all the respect in the world for him. I think everyone's making a really big deal out of this, and it's not a big deal at all. I've already talked to him before.
And last night, they shook hands.
Right. So there you go. By the way, we're watching the game last night at Fidel. He gets Tom Brady comes out on the field with the offensive unit, gets a standing ovation from a pretty good crowd, by the way, at Foxborough for a meaningless game.
Interesting. All right, in other NFL news, John Gruden, Mike, Khalil Mack. It's a big deal. We've been talking about it. I think we're going to grab our guy Joe Corey next week on the show to talk about this from a contract standpoint, because what is Khalil Mack waiting for? Or is it just simply the Raiders don't want to pay him?
Well, that's just it. I mean, he wants $20 million. He wants to be north of what Von Miller is getting. And I don't know if he's as good as Von Miller, but the Raiders are not prepared to do that right now. He's on the hook for $13.8 the last year of his initial rookie contract. But he's been hanging tough as far as his mindset. He started losing some big money here in fines, and we'll see if the Raiders let it slide or do they enforce the fines. The Rams did not enforce the fines on Aaron Donald last year during his holdout, and according to Les Snead, they probably won't this year. Doesn't sound like it. But in the case of Khalil Mack, the rumors are they want two number ones, at least one number one and a high two.
Woo.
They want a lot for the guy. So I don't think anybody's going to be taking that ask. That's a bit rich.
Let's hear from John Gruden on Khalil Mack.
Mack's the best player, I think, coming off the edge in football. That's our opinion. And, you know, we're determined to find a way to get him in here and get him a contract and get on with life. He's a really important person, too. He's a great guy. You know, this is a negotiation. You know, Joel Siegel's the agent. They've got their plan. Reggie McKenzie and the people that are negotiating a contract, our end, have a plan. I'm coaching the team. And at this time, he's not here. We got to focus on what we can control, and that's just working.
I mean, Siegel's a bloodsucker, I'll give you that, guys, but that's his job. You know, he's an agent, walks by night, pretty bad guy. But I'm talking about what I can control right here, my football team with the Oakland Raiders.
John Gruden. All right, so he likes Khalil Mack. That's obvious.
Like him better if he was here.
I was going to say, but it'd be better if he was there. All right, some other NFL news, Mike. One thing that happened and people are talking about is the fact that John Elway came out talking about Kaepernick.
Yep.
Now, for those who missed this, all right, got to go back to last season when everybody was talking about, you know, signing him. And, well, is he going to get signed? And so John Elway has admitted that, listen, we had Kaepernick. We offered him a deal. He didn't want it.
Yeah, John Elway actually had him to his house, face-to-face meeting, and there was still some wrangling about how they were going to try to figure out the 49ers share of who's going to carry the contract, this and that. But it is interesting that at least the Broncos made him an offer. John Elway said it in his deposition. I'm going to take him at face value. And a lawyer for Kaepernick says, okay, there's a positive and a negative there. It maybe shows there was no collusion in 16, but what about 2017? So we'll see about where that goes. But more and more NFL personnel people, owners, deposed in this Kaepernick action.
All right, so John Elway, let's hear from him talk about this.
Colin had his chance to be here. We offered him a contract. He did take it. You know, and as I said in my deposition, and I don't know if I'm legally able to say this, but, you know, he's had his chance to be here. He passed it.
There you go. So for Kaepernick fans, I mean, unless you think John Elway's lying to you, that's what the man, I think, you know, he's owned it when he screwed things up like his recent quarterback move.
So he was deposed too, huh? I didn't know that. I didn't remember John Elway being deposed. Interesting. Well, listen, it just goes to show you again, for everyone who says he was never offered anything, I think there were at least two teams who were interested I think it was the Ravens were the other team.
You know, Pete Carroll talked about it but never did anything. And, of course, the Ravens were interested. And remember, Ray Lewis said what he said.
Yep.
And then Kaepernick's girlfriend said something about Ray, and then it kind of escalated quickly. And Biscotti said thanks, but no thanks, the Ravens owner. The other stories today, guys, Dez Bryant. If you're following the HBO's Hard Knocks, you saw the general manager. By the way, is he mugging for the camera or what? But anyway, that he's going to reach out to Dez Bryant. Dez Bryant's visit in Cleveland ends without a deal, according to NFL Network's Ian Rappaport. Other news. Now, this is where the injuries come in. We talked about Isaiah Wynn. Blows out his Achilles last night. So, unfortunately, Georgia picked 23rd overall. Georgia lineman, great guy. He will not be able to go this year. Jerick McKinnon from Georgia Southern to miss the rest of the preseason for the 49ers.
That was a big pickup for them.
Yeah, he and Matt Breida are the guys that will kind of be toting the rock. But there's sort of that Statesboro connection, if you will. Right now it's Statesboro Blues because he's not going to be able to go for the rest of the preseason. Samaje Perine, he is going to miss at least a week for the Redskins. They've kind of got a muddled mess because, remember, Darius Geis is also now done at running back there. We also told you earlier in the week, Alshon Jeffrey could be on the pup list. You might not see him until November, so don't draft him in your fantasy league because he ain't going to be ready to go. And then, of course, we're waiting to hear what the Patriots know about Sony Michel and this whatever knee procedure he had done.
So this gets to your point about fantasy drafts, though.
Right.
I mean just, there's no way.
If you see a little red, if you see a little red cross next to that guy's name, right now, you better slow your roll.
Well, and to be honest, I know some guys are like, we're going to do it this weekend. Why? Push it back a couple of weeks and wait to see how this thing plays out.
Now, we're going to see the Packers in Lambeau, guys, later this year for the Falcons. First of hopefully many, if you're a Packers fan, hopefully not too many against us, connections between Aaron Rodgers and Jimmy Graham. They connected for an 8-yard touchdown. They put a lot of points on the board against the Steelers, their second team, but their first team unit did look good offensively.
That's going to be the norm, Mike. Graham may have 12 touchdowns this year. I'm not over-exaggerating. He is going to be his red zone target. And with his size, he creates mismatches. Falcon fans, hello. I mean, he played with Drew Brees. He creates mismatches. And with Aaron Rodgers' escapability, he's going to find time. So I'm being serious. I mean, it sounds crazy.
Right.
But it would not surprise me if Jimmy had over 10 touchdowns this season just based on the fact that he's playing with that guy.
Hey, what did you think last night of Jason Witten's first chance to get on the cameras with the ESPN?
Not bad.
I like the guy.
Not bad.
We didn't know anything about Tony Romo. I think a lot of people were surprised how good Tony Romo was in his first campaign as a TV announcer. But last night, ESPN, Joe Testator.
Yeah.
And then ESPN also announcing that they will not that they have on a regular basis anyway, but for what it's worth, they will not be televising the national anthem during Monday Night Football. So whoever's responding or standing at attention, you won't see it on ESPN.
Well, listen, I think it's a good idea. I really do. Because it gives the lames, okay, at home, a reason to complain, all right? And that gives people a reason to go, oh, my God. Nothing to see. Let's play football.
Right.
So ESPN, I think it's a good move by ESPN.
Well, I mean, like I said, it's kind of like we've talked about it for guys.
Now, if you're in the stadium, Mike, not to interrupt you, but if you're in the stadium and you want to fuck him up, that's fine. But how many lames are sitting at home and want to make a big deal out of something that may be nothing? And I just think that when I say nothing from the standpoint of it's always going to be made a much bigger deal. Why isn't he on the field? Right. Who's in the locker room? So they're not going to show it. So I think it's a good idea.
Right. We talked about this before. The owners, I mean, they don't really have a plan. Truth be told, they don't have a plan because they were told mum's the word and everybody started squawking from Jerry Jones, Adam Gase with the Dolphins. There are some players that are, you know, whether it's a fist in the air, some guys are taking a knee, but we shall see. One thing I've thrown out there, and guy, I forget who said it earlier. I forget who the player was. I don't want to misquote him, but there was somebody in the Bay Area. It was either Raiders or 49ers, was saying, look, we were in the locker room in college. We'd come out. Remember, the anthem is played, then the teams would come out of the tunnel. It's something we've talked about, but the NFL is going to stick what they've been doing the last couple of years since post 9/11.
Yeah, I think it's hard to now backtrack on that, but interesting. Hey, last but not least, and then we'll give you a chance to win some money with the correct word this hour. Let's hear from Eli Manning, because earlier this week, all the talk was about Jalen Ramsey and his big mouth. Eli faces Jalen Ramsey week one.
I hadn't heard anything about it, so, I got work to do, and I'm going to be excited about week one no matter what.
That's three touchdowns to Odell Beckham is what that is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Run a up and out. Yeah, right there. Double move right there.
Yeah, by the way, in case you guys are wondering where the storyline is going with Jalen Ramsey here on the Falcons, they kind of let that thing die on the vine. As you kind of aptly predicted, they were not going to put any air into that fire.
No quarterback responded, really.
Matt shut it down, basically said, look, you know, I've been in the league 11 years, yada, yada. Eli, haven't heard from Big Ben yet because he's still in concussion protocol. But I'd be curious, though, when some of these guys that were called out go toe-to-toe with Jacksonville, that will be a fun storyline, though, that week, you know, when the bullets are flying for real. We play Jacksonville next Saturday night in week 3, which is the starters' game, really, when you see the starters play the most of the preseason.
All right. It is Dukes and Bell, guys, here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, giving you a chance to win some money here in a second. John Smoltz on the way. My couple of guys hit us up in regards to the John Elway comments and saying, all the facts haven't really come out. Apparently, some guys are saying to us that this was prior to the protest. So I don't know if that's the case. What we're simply
How can it be prior to the protest? He was on the roster of the San Francisco 49ers the first time Kaepernick took a knee.
Well, a guy just sent me a story from the Daily News. I'm going to take a look at it. He says, check this out, because this is what's been left out. We'll take a look and see what happens, or at least explain, you know, what we're looking at. But our whole thing on this program was, did he get an offer or did he not? Did he get an offer or did he not? And that was the thing. We wondered, did anybody offer him? And John Elway's admitting that they had a chance to offer him something and he wasn't interested. Let's give you a chance to win some money.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is...
Mike, you go ahead and screw it up.
Well, again, if you missed it earlier, we had a little bit of a situation with our... Interim producer, this guy, Abe. I don't know. We found this guy on the weekend or something.
Hi, I'm Abe Froman.
He just busted in from Chicago. They found him at the Greyhound bus station, Carl. The word for 3 o'clock, according to my sources.
Whoa. Are you sure?
Is edit. E-D-I-T. Edit. Edit. He'll probably edit out the fact that he screwed up the word in the 2 o'clock when the tape hits the program director's desk. Edit, guys, goes to 72881. Text edit. That is your word for the 3 o'clock hour for your shot at $1,000 at our national signing bonus contest.
I'm sorry. I'm just reading this. All right, guys. By the way, our NFL Blitz brought to you by Jim Ellis Key of Kennesaw. Go see my friends. 1221 Auto Park Drive. John Smoltz stops by. If you missed it, hear what he has to say about Acuna being hit. And what does he think about the young fella? Before we let you hear what John Smoltz had to say about the Acuna incident, real quick, to kind of clear things up as best as possible, as fast as we can, Mike, we were talking about John Elway's comments in a press conference yesterday where he says, hey, we offered Kaepernick a deal. He didn't want it. It's not that that didn't happen, but the timing is a little off.
Yeah, because when we say, look, he had his chance, it's not like he had his chance after the protest started with the anthem. That was in the spring when the 49ers were looking to move him, and there was a contract dispute. There was a question of money. Eventually, he later did opt out of his San Francisco deal and left his money on the table. But at the time, John Elway's talking about this. That's April of 16. And then Colin began to sit and begin his protest in the preseason of that summer of 16. So appreciate you guys who hit us up with the article in Daily News, because it's almost like the inference is once he started the protest, then Elway says, hey, we gave him his shot. Well, he was looking to do a deal before the protest began. So that really doesn't prove anything about that the collusion didn't happen amongst NFL owners and personnel people.
So there it is, as best as we can describe it. With that, man, John Smoltz joined us here. First thing we asked Smoltzy, Hall of Famer, is do you think Don Mattingly, the manager, ordered the hit?
No, no way. This was just a rogue pitcher. Obviously not knowing how to do whatever he was trying to do. And it's a bad look. He's going to get suspended. It's a young game. And when you have a young game, you don't know how to do things properly. And that is something that I don't think the Marlins will do this. But if they thought it was as egregious or off the you know, where they wanted that to happen, then I would send them down. Personally, I would send them down to the minors. If they thought it was that bad, and this was not something that they called for or wanted to have happen, then he should pay the punishment of being sent down. But to do it like he did, luckily, you know, it didn't create, like it wasn't near the head. But to do that on the first pitch, and really, honestly, for the umpires to not recognize it right away was a little puzzling for me. That's probably why Snicker was losing his mind. And then they eventually got the call right and threw him out of the game. But it's unfortunate that a young pitcher decides to do something, and he doesn't have the greatest command anyways. So to throw it that hard and to hit him on the first pitch, not a good look. If you're just trying to, if you're trying to get him off the dish and you're trying to throw inside, throw a slider first. You know, use your. This is just the guy that doesn't understand.
It is Hall of Famer John Smoltz with us, John. The reason we thought, and I was adamant, I thought for sure that Don Mattingly gave the instructions, how sheepishly he answered the post-game questions about it. And it has happened before in baseball where the skipper does get with you. Does it not happen?
Yeah, it there's a lot of reasons it can happen, way more than what was going on with, you know, just hitting home runs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the game has gone, like I said, super young, and everyone wants to see the animation. They want to see people, you know, show people up, and why do we have such a big problem? I would ask the pitchers to start getting in the fray and start doing demonstrative stuff on the mound then, because it's only one-sided, and people have a hard time when someone gets hit, when a batter is pimping it or doing something at the plate. Then the pitchers need to just start creating some mock dances when they strike him out. But in this instance, you know, a guy's super hot. He's beating up your team. You're in last place. It's not a good look. And you know what? I will give him one. Here's the credit I will give him. He's a National League pitcher, and he's coming up to the plate.
Mm.
So at some point, he's going to wear it. And he better know it and be prepared for it. And the element of surprise is when it's best. Baseball has a long memory. It used to. Players who played the game and knew how to do things the right way don't incite more violence, more brawls. So what they do is the veteran guys used to know how to do it, and today you're at the mercy of someone not knowing how to do it.
It is Hall of Famer John Smoltz joining us here on Dukes and Bell. I saw Snicker leading the charge. Obviously, Ender Inciarte jumps over the, you know, the dugout fence there, and he's running out there. But I got to tell you, John, I was a little like, where's everybody else? You know, and I just thought that the reaction from the Braves should have been a little bit more. And I'm talking about from the players. What did you see there, and what's been your experience when these things happen?
Yeah, I think everyone was surprised. You know, I didn't see it live, so I saw the replays in the post game. I think you're surprised because I don't think anybody in the world thought that was even a reality. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's – you saw the catcher for the Marlins. He was like, what in the world? And he wasn't – looked like he wasn't going to defend his pitcher, you know. And obviously it hurt. So, you know, Acuna wasn't going to be doing anything because he was dealing with a lot of pain. So – I just think everyone was surprised. You got the Marlins on the field. They weren't really rushing to anything because I'm sure they didn't know it was coming.
Right.
And you got a lone wolf. You know, basically the pitcher was out there, threw it as hard as he could, and had nothing but intent to hit him. And that's just stupid. I mean, it's just stupid. If you think you want to cool somebody, or you don't want him to hit a leadoff home run, throw some sliders. Make it look better. And you know what? I think everyone would have had an easier time, including Don Mattingly would have had an easier time if he threw the first pitch inside.
Right. John Smoltz with us, guys. The lead baseball analyst for Fox. You'll see him on the World Series with Joe Buck. He joins us here on the WadeFort.com hotline. John, the other thing is when you have a baseball, once you get the players on the field and we have a bench clearer, we were just hoping Eric Young would get to Urena, get hands on him. Then we don't worry about Gausman and whatever he's going to do, because Snicker tells him no retaliation. We really can't trust the bullpen if Gauz loses and gets the game.
Yeah, you have to win the game there. I know everyone was expecting you have to win the game. You're in too big of a situation. The Marlins have nothing to gain or lose by doing that. They don't really factor in. So you never want to fall prey to that anger and emotion. I mean, the old-time guys are the ones that were the most – they were the most – and you would expect that, because when something is way across the line, you're animated. You're fired up. You're gonna want to get to the guy. So in that situation, that they had to win the game. And the score was going to be the indicator, in my opinion, of whether something happened or not, if they got way behind or way up. But, see, you're looking at the Marlins lineup, and unfortunately – you know, from a star standpoint, I think it's better to wait for the pitcher to get at the plate and have to wear one himself. Mm. That's the only respect I'm going to give a National League. I think the American League is such a chicken league when it comes to pitchers.
Right.
Guys.
because they never have to stand in the box.
Boom. You're right.
So one of their teammates is going to wear it. And when their teammates wear it too much, then you're going to get on your pitcher and say enough's enough. So the game has tried to push that away from anything escalating to that point. But I promise you, if you know how to do it right, it ends quickly. Everyone goes on their way, and it doesn't become this escalated every other series. Mm. You're going to face these guys 18 times, and chances are you're going to face, unless he gets traded, you're going to face him again. So.
Right. Smoltzy, you ever go rogue? You ever hit a dude because you just did? You wanted it?
Yes, and it ended up with an 8-game suspension and a brawl.
Who was it?
It really wasn't that I was trying to hit him. It was the Cangelosi game in Mets against the Mets.
Right.
Bases loaded, two outs. I hung an 0-2 slider to Ryan Thompson. After we made three errors, loaded the bases up, I gave up a grand slam, and he absolutely took forever to get around the bases. I mean, he broke it down. And so I said, all right, you know what? I'm not going to last long enough in the game. That's going to knock me out of the game. I'm basically going to brush the next guy that comes to the plate. And I didn't look who right. was up. I just kind of – I put my head down. I got the ball. I put my head down. And then, unfortunately, Cangelosi stands 2 inches from the plate.
Mm.
And so I threw it inside. He turned into it, and he charged the mound. And, the rest is history. It becomes a cover of Sports Illustrated. Charlie O'Brien's got him. You know, I didn't try to do anything to ever hurt anybody. I think I have the least amount of hit batsmen per, like, over 3,000 innings.
Mm.
And when I hit Alex Arias in the famous Paul Byrd, Eddie Perez game, right. I got thrown out for that. And there was no warnings. That's my point. Like, Eddie got hit twice. I hit Alex Arias. He went to first. No big thing.
Right.
Call up umpire Jerry Mills at the time. Threw me out. That's when I threw him out of the game. We went toe-to-toe. I told him he had just incited a brawl, and, of course, the brawl comes later. So, yeah, it's just the timing of when I hit people just ended up getting me an 8. The longest suspension ever given to a pitcher at that time was 8 games because there was the rash of brawls.
I'm reading the New York Times article right now. Smoltz denies intent. Anyway, it is
hey, which gets back to us saying
yes.
When guys go, well, he didn't mean to hit him, whatever.
It is John Smoltz with us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. All right, we got a few minutes left. Let's talk about the team, man. They're in first place, John. They made enough moves. You know, Gausman so far, 2 good starts here at SunTrust Park. Do you trust the pitching, though, down the stretch?
Well, you know, when I look at the team, I just covered the Phillies and the Red Sox. Of course, the Phillies split. That's kind of a big split for them. And, of course, the Red Sox are coming in to play the Braves. So you are who you're playing at the time, and you got to take care of it. So I think the Phillies' bullpen is a tick better than the Braves. I think the Braves' offense is a tick better than the Phillies. And the starting staff probably gets an edge a little bit with the Phillies just from the consistency of their arms. But to answer your question, I think they can't use 15 combinations down the stretch and expect it to work. So they're going to have somebody's going to have to settle in, and some unit's going to have to get hot for the Braves to be able to end up where they want to end up, because their offense is plenty good enough. The position players have done a great job, and now it's going to come down to those key innings late. And you've seen what's happened to the Washington Nationals, the blows that gives a team when you lose games like they've lost late, when their closer went down, the Washington Nationals haven't been the same. So if the Braves can get 3 guys hot in the pen, I don't see why there's any reason they cannot be fighting till the end. And those last 7 out of 11 games are going to be between the Phillies. And that right now, if you would have said that was going to be on the schedule, some of the most important games at the end of the year, I don't think anyone would have believed that both the teams would be in the mix. So hopefully that plays true. And selfishly for me, I hope it plays true, because I've got the National League this year in the playoffs.
Nice.
I've yet to do a home game. I want to do a home playoff game. I've said that for a long time, and hopefully it happens.
I hear that.
Smoltzy, real quick before we let you go, dude, thank you again. We know you were out having some fun today, and you're taking some time out of your day to talk with us here on Dukes and Bell about this and our Braves. But what you're seeing from Acuña, man, I mean, you've seen a lot of great young players. Mike and I were talking about it the other day. He's 20. You know, you start looking at these numbers and the season he's having, it's been remarkable.
It has. He reminds me of Andrew Jones in every way you can imagine. Of course, Andrew, so much better outfielder, but not that much better where you can't say translate it into what Acuna can be.
Right.
Offensively, it's been an incredible first season. He has a unique way that he approaches the baseball, and just his the way that he carries his hands and the ball that comes off the bat. And he's going to go through some stretches now. The pitchers are going to figure out some things. He's going to have to adjust. But it is unbelievable what an impact he's been. And it's not surprising. It's just what he's done lately is unbelievable, because in the history of the game, it just doesn't, it's not that easy. You just can't do that. He is a huge part of that offense. With Freddie Freeman, him, and what Markakis is doing, and, of course, Culberson. What can you say for him since he's come over? He's just been huge. I like what the Braves have done, and I also like that they didn't panic and forego the future to make so many moves that may not have panned out this year, and they didn't sacrifice the future. That's right. The most important part.
Holding on to Tukey and all the other family jewels. Hey, man, by the way, John, that rough looked really rough out in Colorado at the Senior Open, man.
Hardest thing I've ever been through in my life. Greatest experience I've ever been through. The learning that I will gain from that will be priceless. The humility is definitely part of it, and it won't be my last. So I can assure you of that.
Awesome.
Well, man, we appreciate you, dude. Thanks so much for jumping on. Hall of Famer John Smoltz. Talk to you soon, Smoltz.
All right. Thanks, guys.
And for those who don't remember, John qualified for the U.S. Senior Open and found the rough was rough. Hey, man, we got plenty more to dive into. We got shenanigans, bro. Is Conte doing it fly from the stadium, or am I providing the shenanigans? Oh, I better come up with some stories then. It is Dukes and Bell, man. Dog Report, if you missed it, our conversation with Dabo Swinney, part of it on the way.
Time now for In Case You Missed It with Mike Conte.
Have I got good news for you?
Right here on Dukes and Bell.
All right, guys, Conte getting ready for the pregame. It's coming up at 5 o'clock here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Meanwhile, Dukes and Bell live inside the Kia Studios. Couple of things going on. A couple of other stories that we wanted to get to. And a reminder, Corky Kell, guys, the broadcast. Couple of games that you can listen to. Actually, all five games starting at 9 a.m. tomorrow.
Right.
But some great contests. Some of the top programs in the state getting together for the Corky Kell. So make sure you're listening all day long. Some play-by-play by Chris Goforth, Mike Conte, and Harper LaBelle. Also, Sam Crenshaw. Randy McMichael's going to be on the broadcast. Tanitra.
Randy McMichael, Joe?
Yeah, man. Some of our favorites here on the radio station. Taking part in the Corky Kell broadcast. So make sure you tune in tomorrow. What's going on, Mike?
All right, man. Let's start with the Ohio State University, where core values, well, they don't have any. Everybody's wondering when that two-week investigation. Remember, how long is this investigation into what happened with Urban Meyer? What did he know? When did he know about Zach Smith, his former wide receiver coach and recruiter? Well, the president of the Ohio State University, Michael Drake, says it'll be done when it's done.
Wait, does he sound like that?
Why are you bothering me? Why are you pestering me? The Urban Meyer investigation will be finished when it's finished.
You know what that makes it seem
Call
like?
Call me, sir.
Yes, sir. Do you know what that sounds like, sir? Sounds like he's going to keep his job.
There's a great deal of interest in this investigation. We wanted to make sure we had really good information, and there was time pressure. We wanted to have that information as quickly as possible. The most important thing is to get good information so we can make the right decision going forward. Things are moving apace in this investigation.
How long is it going to take? Right before the season starts? 2 more weeks?
Excuse me?
Two more weeks.
I think this, you know what? This investigation might have to be concluded after the 2018-19 football season.
You know what? It might. And that means Urban will be on the sidelines. Seriously. Does this guy?
We're trying to find exactly what happened.
Oh, get out of here.
What the context was. I'm going to wait until I know those things before I jump to any conclusions.
Yeah, no one's jumping to conclusions. You know what happened.
I'm keeping an open mind.
You guys are trying to spin this and frame it.
You realize we've got a 90-year-old woman on this panel conducting the investigation of what Coach knew and when he knew it.
What's the punishment? Let's go around the room.
If I had my way, nothing to see here. He'll be back on that sideline. This was one rogue coach.
Yes, I've heard.
One rogue coach.
What do you think, Craig? What do you think?
Two games.
Two-game suspension?
Two games.
Abe Vroman, the Sausage King.
No, he was always going to make it to the season. Once they win game one, no one's talking about anything but 12-0.
I'm with you. I think it's one game. Slap on the wrist.
And it's the first game of the season. That's a joke.
That's right. That's right. I mean, we all knew where this was going. They are a football factory. They don't make any bones about it. But at least now everyone knows it's all there for everyone to see, as Mike Bianchi wrote in the Orlando Sentinel, what a fraud Urban Meyer is. There are no core values. You know, you want to sit there and give me that lawyer's dodge. Well, my wife never told me. We talked to Vince Dooley. His wife knew everything about what was going on with the coaches on their staff. I mean, I'm not saying that that proves anything. And a lawyer would say that it don't prove anything in court.
It does.
But it takes a real leap of faith to think Urban Meyer didn't know this guy was a dirtbag.
And Mike, here's the other part. To who was that who said all those nice
things? That was University President Michael Drake. I noticed there's a brown Audi in my parking space. I want to tow, chop, chop.
To Mr. Drake's comments. The longer it goes, the more they can cover themselves by saying, we covered every aspect of this
investigation. You know, it could be a 2-game suspension for Coach Meyer as we run through the gauntlet that is Oregon State and Rutgers.
That's why it's a shame. If you're going to suspend him, suspend him during Big Ten play.
Perhaps by game 3 against TCU, we'll have him back there. Great horny totes.
That story, right, guys, it's ongoing. And seriously, that they did say today, we're making fun, it will be over when it's over, meaning the investigation.
Hey, man, what do you think the best vibe, best quality of life for a university in the state of Georgia would be? What school do you think has got the best vibe? You know, the overall, like, campus, the courses, the folks, the amenities.
Well, here's what's funny. You would easily think UGA in Athens, right? You would believe that. But I'm going to tell you something. What about right here in Atlanta? Like, if you're at Georgia State and you're in downtown Atlanta and you've got all this access to everything that's going on in the A, I mean, honestly, I would think it might be Georgia State. But, Mike, I don't know. Who is it? Is it Georgia Southern?
Wrong.
Who is it?
Emory. Emory, buddy boy. The campus was also recognized in the Princeton Review's 20 Most Beautiful College Campuses. And we saw that because Carl and I, we were part of the Special Olympics Torch Rally. And we had a bunch of Atlanta.
Campus is gorgeous,
a bunch of Atlanta PD. We had the motorcycle cops giving us the escort. That was a lot of fun, by the way, to not be running, but watching people run as we sat in the luxury of the air-conditioned SUV that 92.9 the game owns. But it is a beautiful campus. We get a chance to see a lot more of it than we usually get to.
Yeah. My daughter asked me the other day. She said, is Emory a good school? I looked at her and did a double take. What?
Yeah, you bet it is. Get your grades up.
Not only that, daddy's going to need to make some more money, okay?
Yeah. I'm going to need you to really be good at volleyball soon.
Yeah. You might need a full ride, sweetheart.
Hey, by the way, happy or congratulations to 2 Chainz, I should say. Our buddy.
What, you say 2 Chainz?
2 Chainz.
2 Chainz.
He's going to get married Saturday down in Miami. Is it Keisha Ward? Kesha Ward? He's going to marry. They're going to say, I do. A luxury villa down in Miami. Kim Kardashian, Kanye West going to be down there.
Is it this Saturday? I'm sorry?
Yeah, this Saturday, yeah.
Is Andy and him going afterwards, or how's it going?
I'm not sure how it works.
Congratulations, 2 Chainz. All right, man, coming up, you're going to get a chance to hear from Dabo Swinney, one of the best college football coaches in the country. We got a chance to spend some time with him yesterday on the show and asked him about his team, his core values, seriously, and how he's turned that program around.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.